Welcome back, everyone, to GDC Live. I'm your host, for the time being, James Montemagno, and with me, an awesome, amazing guest, super excited to have you, Jessica Dean. How's it going, Jessica?
It's going fantastic, and I just want to say I'm super excited to be here. So far, I love everything about GDC. This environment is just... I mean, it's like electric.
It's crazy. It's my first GDC. It's your first GDC, right? First GDC?
Your very first GDC.
It's bananas. There's so much happening. I've just been walking around, like, taking it all in. It's cool. Have you gone to a lot of other game conferences or anything like that?
Not game conferences. I go to conferences all the time. I was just in Paris last week. I was in London the day before. I was in Orlando this past weekend. But out of all the conferences, there's nothing quite like this.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Jessica, first, maybe we're going to be talking about DevOps for games, for backends, for building anything.
Yeah.
But maybe talk a little bit about your background, because you're a little bit different background than a lot of our other guests that have been on so far.
Yep, so thank you for asking. So my background, primarily prior to joining Microsoft, I was actually a Linux systems administrator, more on the ops side of things.
Okay.
Background is very heavy, Linux, open source, very big in the open source community. Any kind of container orchestration, Docker, Kubernetes, more on the ops side of the world. But I worked really closely with developers, and I have development experience in the sense of developing infrastructure and architecture for pretty much any developer where they have to ultimately push what is going to be in the end user's hands. And then actually, prior to that, I was a vendor to Microsoft since 2009, so almost 8 years I've been around. I was a Microsoft MVP for 4 years in Windows and devices, but I was the only MVP I knew of that had 4 Apple certifications.
Oh, nice.
So I have a really kind of eclectic background where I guess the best way I sum myself up is whatever you're looking to deliver to your end users, whether that's a game, whether that's something Linux-based or Mac-based or Windows-based, I'm so passionate about technology as a whole, where I love taking the most abstract things and getting them to play nicely together to have a nice process and simple delivery solution.
Got it. So what are you doing now here at Microsoft? What's your main role? You've been traveling a lot, it sounds like.
I have. So I'm actually a cloud developer advocate. I work on Microsoft's new cloud developer advocacy team. Specifically, I work on a DevOps focused team.
Okay.
And so we call ourselves the League of Extraordinary Cloud DevOps Advocates.
Cool, cool.
There are 5 of us. And we're a really healthy balance between developers and ops, and specifically even people that come from companies outside of Microsoft. So not everyone on the team bleeds blue. We have other backgrounds and other histories before. It's not only Microsoft tools that we've all used. And then on a larger scale, that cloud developer advocacy team, our job is literally to talk to people and get developers excited about code, whether that's game developers, machine learning, artificial intelligence, IoT. We have just a wealth of knowledge across the CDA organization as a whole. So I absolutely freaking love what I do. It's so awesome.
That's good. It's one of my joys of what I do too is as a program manager and part-time advocate, I would say, is showing people what I love and what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
It makes your job easier just talking about what you love.
Yeah, because then it's not even work. I'm just sitting here talking.
Yeah.
I do that with my friends too.
Yeah, exactly. So what I want you to do, Jessica, for us is demystify some of the myths when people come into this Microsoft booth. They're thinking, I see Visual Studio everywhere, I see C# places,
yep.
I see Visual Studio in the name and Microsoft in the name, but I'm not even deploying to Microsoft platforms.
Yep.
Like, what do we have for developers? Like, at a high level, what's out there?
I mean, first off, high level, we have Azure, and Azure being a cloud solution from Microsoft, that is for developers, regardless of what your background is. So I mentioned prior to coming to Microsoft, my background was not Microsoft tools. I came from the open source and Linux community, meaning if I'm using a DevOps tool, I'm using things like Jenkins. I'm scripting my pipelines in Groovy, or YAML builds using tools like CodeShip or CodeFresh. And CodeShip actually just got acquired by CloudBees with Jenkins. And then you have tools like CodeFresh, which is also a YAML-based product, and they tie into Kubernetes. And we have direct integration support for Kubernetes into Azure. And then even on a larger scale there, we have products like Visual Studio Team Services that can help simplify your pipeline, whether that's your continuous integration and your build, or your continuous deployment, your release, and agile tools off depth into Azure. So whatever your endpoint is, we have a wealth of different products. If you use tools like Eclipse, and even if you use Jenkins for your build, you can actually tie that into VSTS to handle the release.
Okay, got it.
And push that out to wherever your endpoint is.
So you don't have to use everything. Like, we're not like forcing you to use every little bit to use some of the great things that we have.
No, and honestly, even if you have, let's say you have a Kubernetes cluster, or you're using it in AWS, or using GCP or GKE for Google, you can still use VSTS to push over to that Kubernetes cluster.
Cool.
It does not have to be hosted in Azure. Of course, we would love if you do, but you can use all these tools independent of what your background is or what your preference is. We just want to give you the option of these amazing tools, and then obviously Azure as well.
Yeah, it's like Azure's there when you need it. We understand that you're deploying code elsewhere, but you know, I've always thought Microsoft as like the ultimate company that makes great developer tools. I've been using Visual Studio for the last, oh my goodness, ever, essentially. When I found it, I was like, this is the IDE I want to use, and it's great. But at the same time, you just mentioned a bunch of other IDEs, whether you're using Eclipse or Android Studio or maybe just Visual Studio Code, command line. I know that you're, maybe not an IDE type of developer. You're showing me some crazy awesome stuff that you do. Almost makes me want to switch to terminal use only, but I don't think I can do it. But
my background being very command line, I actually joke and tell the story. When I joined the CDA team, it was back in November, and prior to that, being my background was YAML builds or Groovy or Jenkins kind of concept, I had a cumulative total of 1 minute worth of VSTS time. And then they asked me to record 4 Channel 9 videos of, hey, show us how you can do Node deployments and Kubernetes deployments and Mac builds for Xamarin in VSTS. But I'd never used VSTS. So coming from the fact that I understand DevOps practices, well, how can I get started with this? What I really was truly surprised to learn is how easy VSTS was. It could hook into Visual Studio Code. It could hook into whatever IDE I was using.
Yeah.
And all I have to do is add tasks in. I didn't have to write additional code. I didn't have to learn anything additional that I would if I were looking at, for example, other tools. I mean, even down to Travis CI and Circle CI, like great, powerful tools. But there is a bit of a learning curve. So VSTS is just immensely powerful, even beyond the Microsoft Bleed Blue kind of box.
Yeah. So when you say DevOps, you know, we're here at a Game Developers Conference.
Yep.
What does DevOps mean, and why do I care at all if I'm a game dev?
For you, I mean, if you're delivering a product to an end user, your goal is to deliver value in that product, right? I can push new features, I can push new changes, but what does it matter if your gamers who are using that particular game don't like those features or don't care about those features? The goal as a whole, from a developer, any developer, whether you're a game developer or whatever kind of software you're producing, is to deliver a valuable end product. So with that, DevOps really allows you or empowers you to have this repeatable and recyclable process and planning and code using things like version control or Git, and we can talk about that, and using like Agile, all these resources to be able to deliver that continuous solution to your customers. Especially as a developer, if you're manually going through, even as an indie one-team shop, one-person team, you're going through and you're building all these bits, and then you're having to hand that off to various FTP sites or Steam, and there's a lot of manual things you're doing that's exhausting. It's time intensive.
Yeah.
If you can automate that using things like continuous integration or have your builds automatically kick off when you do a Git commit and a Git push, and then have that automatically take that artifact that's ready to go and hand that off into release for, say, I want to push it automatically to the Google Play Store or to App Center for your iOS things. You can have that automatically fire off as part of a pipeline. So it really adds value to end users, but more importantly, to developers as well.
Got it. So if I'm a developer, I just want to crush some code, have a bunch of stuff happen, but it's not just automation, it sounds like. It sounds like through some of the bits of automation, I'm getting a lot of extra benefit. So how is DevOps not automation? Can you kind of explain? Because I think when I think about it, I think it's, I'm just automating a bunch of things, but what does it mean? What am I getting out of it besides that?
For you, I mean, I would say that you're getting time back, because again, it's less time that you have to worry about setting all this stuff up and infrastructure and operations. My background is infrastructure and understanding how what you give me as a developer, how that works and where that goes.
Yeah.
But from a developer, all you want to do is code. That's why you got into development, right? You just want to crush code and sling code. You don't want to worry about where it's going or what's happening or anything else beyond once you get push. So implementing and really applying these DevOps practices empowers you to do that. For example, I actually have up here on my screen a Mono game application we can take a look at. You can even take a look at something like Unity.
Okay.
But for Mono game, let's go ahead and pull up my solution file, for example. And I can open this up in Visual Studio, do something that's very native for a developer. And this, I'm pulling this up in a Git repository. So if I wanted to make a live change, you'll notice when this loads up, I have four different projects.
Okay.
So again, as a developer, thinking about how these practices would be valuable, let me see if I can zoom in here.
And I see in here you have a desktop Windows app, a UWP app, and an Android app.
Yep, and I could add in iOS if I wanted to as well. But let's say that I wanted to make a change to this code, right? I'm coding, I'm slinging code. As a developer, I'm not going to want to worry about anything that happens after I make this change, really, right? I would save this change. I go back over here to, I'm in my Git repo. I'll do a Git status here real quick. We can see, I can see that change just
We're all command line with Jessica, and I love it.
Yeah, sorry, that's all I know.
I'm going to learn some command line Git.
So I'll go ahead and do a Git add right now. So that added it and set it up. Now I can do a Git commit. I'll go ahead and do a message here. Demo change. Now we'll go ahead and do a Git push.
So I'm just a developer, I'm crushing code, and I just want to work, right? I'm just doing my thing, I got tasks, I'm good.
I'm just working, I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, I'm not necessarily worried about any where it's going, the release part of it. I know that from my particular, especially if I'm an indie developer, I know I'm going to have to release this somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take whatever's produced after I build it. But what if I don't want to have to build it manually? Like, I have my testing, I have my unit tests and everything. If I have a pipeline or continuous integration build definition created that's going to do my build for me, it's going to run my tests for me, it's going to give me insight into what ran, it's going to do all of that for me right after I hit Git push, I don't have to worry about anything. My hands are up, I'm done.
Just going, it's off to the races.
So now, if I go back over, and we can take a look here, you can see this was my Git repository.
So you have all the code inside of Visual Studio.
Inside of VSTS, which VSTS actually really uniquely gives you free unlimited private repos.
Got it.
And one of the things we hear specifically from game developers is, well, what about binaries? Binaries can get very, very large, right?
Yeah.
Well, you do have the option to actually use Git large file system, and then you can even tie into a central version control system that actually Minecraft even uses, so you can have 300 gigabytes worth of images, because it just stores the diffs for binaries.
Yeah, because as a game dev, I have my assets, I have textures, graphics, music, and all this stuff.
It can get quite large. So you can, there's so many different options that VSTS can tie in. But after you get past the Git part, you can take a look at the definitions, for example. So I'm just going to go ahead and refresh, because I did that push, right?
Yeah.
So you'll see quite a few different definitions. I have an Android definition, I have iOS, I have UWP, I have my native Windows one, which we see the little play build. This is actually building right now as we're talking. So if I click into that, I can get insight as far as all my previous builds. I can see that one is in progress. So as a game developer, I don't have to build. I don't have to go through anything that I would manually have to do before.
Got it.
So when you asked me earlier, why should I care? If you need more time to do what you love, which is actually slinging code, that's why you should care.
Got it.
Even more so, you want to deliver a good quality product that offers value to those end users. If you can use these kinds of tools where after the fact, after the build and after the release, you can have insight into what people in that are using your game, what they are enjoying, what they're liking, what they don't like. You can have those insights and you can learn from that and then re-implement that in those next versions and next releases. It's really empowering data.
Got it.
So if I click in, you can actually see all the tasks that this build is doing. So I mentioned tasks earlier.
Yeah, tasks. I think of when I think of CI services, I think I got to write a bunch of command line stuff and magical scripts and all this jazz.
And I mean, that would be my background too, right? With Jenkins, I'm scripting everything.
Yes, that sounds great. Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
and I'm like, I don't know about anything.
Don't get me wrong. I love command line. I love scripting, but especially for a lot of tools that are YAML based, if you've ever had to write a YAML file, you've dealt with tabs and spaces and indent errors, and then you're sitting there just so frustrated. Visual Studio really makes it simpler. Number one, you can see kind of all these tasks it's doing.
So this is what it's doing right now.
What it's doing right now. So we can actually dive into this even deeper and see this build definition. These are tasks. First off, I'm defining my build process to use an agent queue.
What's an agent queue? Let's have it back. What's happening?
So the agent queue itself, I can choose whatever kind of queue I want. These are hosted. You can choose hosted or you can choose private. Hosted agents are what VSTS gives you to run your builds.
Okay.
We'll give you a Visual Studio 2017 server to run your build. We'll give you a hosted Linux box if you want to build something for Linux. We'll even do the macOS preview if you want to build like an iOS app, and I can show you that in a second. And then again, even just a regular hosted Windows box.
And this is important because I know as a cross-platform app dev, I have to build my iOS apps on Mac. I just have to do it.
Yep.
Got to do it. And often I'll do my Android ones there because why not? But Windows, guess what? They have to be built on Windows. If I'm building Linux stuff, it's got to kind of be built on Linux.
Exactly.
Because the build tools are there and things like that. So these have all the dev tools.
Everything already set up, so it's the fastest way to get started.
Got it.
Now, after you're invested and maybe have a little bit of time and use under your belt, it's actually very simple to set up your own private agent, which is helpful, for example, if you're doing Unity builds. Due to licensing right now, we can't do Unity builds on a hosted agent.
Sure.
But you can set up your own private agent that can handle your Unity builds.
If you did,
and I can show an example of that, but if you did want to tie in, let's say, Unity Cloud using VSTS Git repos, you can do that through an SSH connection without any licensing being broken.
Yeah.
So I can show that. But there's just a lot of power here. But
so you're saying if I have a machine, maybe like a little Intel NUC or a Mac Mini, I can install something on it, and then magic happens.
Yep, pretty much you're installing an agent that's listening. I actually set this up just because, I like I said, I love kind of inception and taking all these things from different sides of the coin that didn't previously play well together and teach them how to play well. I actually took the VSTS agent listener and put it on my Jenkins build server.
Oh, cool.
So I can have my Linux machine do my Jenkins builds and everything, but I can also have that listen and handle my VSTS builds.
And
that's my private default agent.
And that seems important because often I think of enterprises or smaller shops or just anybody, any dev, they might just have a machine sitting there already doing the builds, right? Or like their main machine just, all right, just point at it.
Yep.
And like now it's now that little machine over there. Because building, I think for me as a developer, I just want to push a bunch of code. If it's going to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour for build as my game grows, that's fine. But let that machine over there do it. Let me just build.
Yep.
And it seems like that's an advantage, whether it's in the cloud or not.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can do this with TFS if you were doing it on-prem as well. Granted, cloud for VSTS, we update every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Every 3 to 4 months, we take all of that and bundle that up and push that to TFS.
Got it.
So the cloud's definitely going to be the fastest to kind of get new features.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is all I'm doing is really adding tasks for these builds. The same things that I would manually do, I click over here to the plus sign, and there's all these predefined tasks. You'll notice there's even App Center tasks and Android signing tasks. I can even go over to the marketplace. If Microsoft doesn't have something for me, there's a community marketplace that can do this. And the marketplace is all written in PowerShell or Node. So truly anybody can create a task that can then handle this from VSTS. So if there's anything you can do from the command line, you can then tie that into VSTS.
Oh, very cool.
And what's even cooler is, so this is that task for, again, the native Windows application. And we can see, for example, a completed build for that, where after it's done, you get all the build details. You can kind of go into any kind of issues that it saw. You can even see any associated changes. It'll give the Git SHA for that, the short SHA. If there were any work items, you can attach work items right from within VSTS itself. Code coverage, and under here, under artifacts, I can actually even zoom in so you can kind of see, I actually can take the artifacts that were built as part of that build definition, I can download that, and I can actually run that. So I can see that that is a ready run game.
Immediately. Like, this was up. I pushed some code, and a few minutes later, boom, I have this.
So
here.
From the developer, why would I care? It's because it literally takes all my bottlenecks and removes them from me. I don't have to worry about it. So I can open this up. We can quickly extract this. And we can go ahead and see that this is a fully, fleshed out running game.
And that's nice because that kind of says, I'm used to, if I build it on my machine, then what happens when I get a new machine or I change my specs? Like, that machine or that hosted machine, I know that if it's building there, when I deliver that to the app store, like, that's going to be certified. I don't want a magical, I created this little thing here, and then I email it to someone to send off. It's all there.
Exactly. And it's something that then when I do get a new machine, I don't have to worry about going and rebuilding it, because my build is it's hosted elsewhere. I don't have to worry about what I change in my dev environment affecting my ability to be productive.
Got it.
So it really does empower you to be more productive. So this is the game that was built right from that build definition.
Oh, cool.
This is a fully run game. This is fully built, ready to go for distribution. Now, what's even cooler is utilizing tools like VSTS. Remember, in Visual Studio, I had four projects, right? I had my Android app, I had UWP, I have native Windows, I can tie in iOS. What happens if I wanted to create a build definition that once it finishes Windows, it fires off my Android build and my iOS build and UWP build?
Building kind of like build everything.
Yep. Yeah. So you can do that even in VSTS. So for example, I think I showed you earlier where I had multiple kind of build definitions, right? You saw those individual tasks. I'll go back real quick so we can kind of see the build index. Actually, so we can see all the definitions here. So I could create individual definitions like this, or I could do something even cooler. I can have one build definition that does absolutely everything for me. So this does what's called phases. We talked about the agent queue earlier. So my Windows native can use a hosted agent with Visual Studio 2017. As you mentioned earlier, for Android, I would use Linux. So I can set my Android, this is all part of one build definition.
Yeah.
So I can set my Android build to use hosted Linux preview, and I can have that tie into additional tasks specific to that particular build.
Yeah.
I can do the same thing with iOS, including down to setting up my environment with a provisioning profile and Apple certificate.
Oh, very cool.
And what's even cool is with these tasks, I can actually tell it to remove the profile after build. So I don't have to worry about security when I'm on a hosted agent.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can go down even further again for UWP as well.
Oh, very cool.
And this will take from one build definition, take one artifact, and hand that off into my release, where I can have four parallel releases from one artifact simultaneously.
All right, now show me what's happening here, because this looks bananas crazy.
It does, but what's ridiculous about it is it's so simple to set up.
This is also my favorite part of all VSTS's release. So when I see release definitions like that, it just makes me all warm and fuzzy, and I was like, this is what sold me on VSTS. Is it looks crazy, but like, to me, this is like pure joy. Like, I am like a school kid, just like getting, like going to class for the first day, like so excited for math class. You know, that was me as a kid. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one excited for math, but that was me. So what's happening here? Oh my goodness.
So again, remember in the beginning, all I did was git commit and git push after I made my change. So from a developer, I don't have to worry necessarily about this.
Okay.
But it goes off and it fires off all those builds. It builds all four of my projects. That's why this build artifact is from my build definition all.
So I get a big drop
Those all those artifacts with all my different builds.
Okay.
And there's this little lightning bolt here. This is my continuous deployment trigger. So once all those builds are green light and are success, it automatically is handing this off to the various parallel releases. So for that native Windows build, that might be securely copying files over SSH to my FTP server.
Sure.
Or if I wanted to deploy to Steam or wherever my end point is, I can script that, right? I can go back over to Android. If I click that, I'm publishing automatically to the Google Play Store. If I go back over to iOS, let me go ahead and scroll down here. I'm pushing that right to App Center distribution.
Got it.
So I'm automating all of these tasks. I have still everything in version control so I can go back. I'm setting up my various environments where, regardless of whether it's dev, QA, or prod, I'm having these checks and balances. I have this testing going through that's verifying. So by the time it gets to prod, as a developer, I don't have to worry about whether it works, whether it doesn't, what bits I pulled here, where I'm pushing this. I don't have to struggle anymore. Everything's automated. It takes the work really out of what I don't love and really empowers me to do what I do, right? I'm now able to sling code. I'm now able to spend more time in text. And especially even for my background being IT and operations, I don't do GUI. Yeah. I want to spend more time in command line. So by doing things like this, I'm able, even I have down at the bottom, UWP, I'm able to set up four parallel pipelines to four different endpoints automatically from one build.
Are there some gates in here? So let's say, you know, Donovan comes over, you know, master of DevOps, and he's like, hey, I want final approval to push a button to say
Absolutely.
Go. So some things are happening automatically, but can I put in a gate or something like that?
Absolutely. So you can have both pre and post deployment approval.
Okay.
So let's say that right here, you'll actually see, I have my continuous deployment trigger right here with the lightning bolt. And then I have the little person here.
Yep.
I can click that and I can put any kind of pre-deployment conditions. Huh. So after release, I can even have it filter for artifacts. I can put it on a schedule. I can turn pre-deployment approvals on. And let's say that dev completes, but QA is still doing certain testing. I don't want it to fire off.
Yeah.
I can go over here even to pre and post, and I can have pre-deployment conditions for QA and post-deployment conditions for my dev. So after post, I want it to be enabled. I want to have approvers. That did really complete. That went fine for dev.
Got it.
And then prior to going to QA, there's so many gates that you can set up throughout this.
And what is a gate? Look at that little gate. Look at that little icon. Can you zoom in on that icon of
a gate?
Look at how cute that is.
So that's gates that you can set up to evaluate afterwards.
And what does that mean?
It's delay before evaluation. So you can even set up delays beforehand. You can add your various REST APIs, Azure functions you can tie into, work items. You can even have the monitor. So part of DevOps, the fourth kind of part of this planning and building and then release stage, the fourth part of it really is the ability to monitor and learn, right? You want insight.
Yeah.
What are your end users liking? What are they using? What's valuable? You can set up even monitor alerts for certain metrics according to Azure.
So I could, if I'm releasing maybe some updates to my website, I deploy that to 1% of my users, I put in a quality gate.
Yep.
Say, hey, don't move this to 10% until I make sure that there's no new crashes or I'm okay with it.
Yes.
And then like Able or someone would, you yourself could
approve it. And then
it would go.
So you can set those gates up, especially in your dev and QA, well before it ever gets to production.
Got it. Now I got to ask you something in our last few minutes. Because you got a lot of questions. You were doing some demos earlier about containers, Docker, Kubernetes, pods, swarms, all this stuff, all these buzzwords, right?
Yes.
Now, as a game developer, I was talking a lot earlier about, I'm not just deploying a game, I'm deploying a solution. I might have a promotional website, a back-end service, all these things that are integral that I'm hosting in Azure. So what can VSTS do for containerization of services? What does that mean?
So VSTS, number one, can tie into pretty much any kind of containerization you're looking at.
Yeah.
I would argue that Kubernetes right now is the de facto container orchestrator.
The hotness.
It's the hotness. It's what everyone wants to know. In fact, my most popular talk is DevOps with Kubernetes and Helm.
Got it.
And Helm, by the way, is a release automation tool for Kubernetes. It allows you to seamlessly set up your deployments, your services, any volume claims you might have, which is persistent storage across your deployments. It allows you to set all that up with pretty much one parameterized chart.
Got it.
But you can tie all of that into VSTS, specifically because, again, I mentioned when you set up your either CI or your build or your release, you have that task runner, right?
Got it.
So if I'm going to go ahead, my personal preference is always going to be something Linux. So I'm going to choose my Linux agent, and I can click to add a task. I can search right for Docker, because even if I'm doing Kubernetes, I'm going to have to build a Docker image.
Got to build the image first.
I have to build the image. So I can add this task twice.
Boom.
I can go into, I can choose if I had a Azure container registry, but I don't have to use Azure. I can do Docker Hub. I can do Quay. I can do JFrog Artifactory. Codefresh, if I were using them for CI/CD already, they actually give you a private repository.
Oh, cool.
So I can tie into theirs. All I would have to do is set up the authentication. And then I can choose under here, under action, I can choose what action. Again, anything from command line I can do here in the GUI. So I can have one for building an image. I would choose my Dockerfile location. I would have a second task for pushing an image.
Oh, got it. Okay. So this is just Docker commands, right?
These are just Docker commands. So it's building, it's pushing. The final particular task would be to publish any kind of artifacts. That would be publishing any YAML files or Helm charts, for example, that I would use for VSTS for a release. So for example, if I were to go over to release, and I'll go ahead and leave here, we won't actually build that. The final release would be how I push that right out into some sort of container orchestrator.
Yeah.
And we have, Microsoft has native Kubernetes integration. So we'll just create real quick a blank release here. So I'll create a release definition. And the same way I would add that Docker, can even just choose an empty process. Don't worry about what the environment's called. Click down into phase. Again, I would choose Linux. Just personal preference.
Yeah, whatever you're comfortable with. Right? You have all options, all operating systems.
All operating systems.
It tells you exactly what you need to do.
Exactly.
Deploy to Kubernetes.
And again, like, and the cool thing is it'll actually, if you're using, for example, Kubernetes on Azure or AKS, it'll find your Kubernetes cluster. You can even go in and manage it and set up your Kubernetes connection. And it does not have to be an Azure one.
Got
so
it.
You would click over to manage. It would take you over into, in VSTS, you have what's called services, so I'll go ahead and leave that real quick. But you have services, and you can tie in any Kubernetes extension.
If you're using GitHub, Google Play, and you can see all your extensions there already, the App Store, App Center, that's cool.
So you can see any of your services, but specifically for Kubernetes, you would be able to tie in that connection. It could be even with Amazon, with Google, with Azure. You tie that in, you choose that extension. And what's even cooler, go back over to that part real quick, when we tie into our releases, not only do we have Microsoft manage particular tasks, like for example with the Kubernetes, but I mentioned Helm earlier.
Yeah.
As of last week, we officially can even do deployments with Helm. It's not a Microsoft-owned task, but we do have somebody in the open source world that wanted to be able to do Helm deployments.
Yeah.
So when I mentioned earlier, all an extension is a Node application or PowerShell, right?
Yeah.
So I can go right over into the marketplace, I can search for Helm, and I can actually tie in the Helm extension right here.
So I can search the entire marketplace all directly. That's newer.
Yep.
That's really cool. So truly, no matter what I'm building, whether it's an iOS app, Android app, a Windows game, I'm deploying my backend, my website, I can build it anywhere, deploy it anywhere, any app, any developer, any language.
Any developer, any language, any platform, you can tie into it.
Beautiful.
And you don't have to leave what you're currently using. If you are already using Jenkins to handle your build, you can actually tie Jenkins into the build and have Jenkins hand off for release into VSTS.
Very cool. Awesome. Jessica, mind blown. Boom. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and showing this awesome VSTS
goodness. Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
Awesome. So stay tuned for even more live from GDC.